Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series, in which we discuss developments in the field of transitional justice throughout the world. Today we are speaking with David Tolbert, President of International Center for Transitional Justice. ICTJ and the United Nations Development Program are co-organizing a high-level international conference aiming to review progress in the implementation of the concept of complementarity, an integrated approach in achieving accountability for serious crimes where international justice and development institutions work with national processes. The meeting to be held at Green Tree Estate on December 8th and 9th is a follow-up from a successful event held last year on the back of the International Criminal Courts Review Conference in Kampala. Mr. Tolbert, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Can you first of all explain to our audiences the concept of complementarity and its relevance? What is it and how is it supposed to strengthen efforts to hold accountable perpetrators of mass atrocities and other serious crimes?
Yes. Well, the Rome Statute, which establishes the International Criminal Court and gives jurisdiction to that court over certain serious crimes, as genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity, really establishes the International Criminal Court as a court of last resort. So what the Rome Statute, when we talk about the International Criminal Court, what we're really looking at when we're talking about complementarity is a system, what we call the Rome Statute system, which puts the primary responsibility on the state. However, we face a big dilemma because many, and if not all, of the states where the International Criminal Court has jurisdiction or where these crimes are being committed are actually unable, some of them unwilling, but let's stick with unable for the moment. They are places that do not have judicial infrastructure. They don't have investigative techniques for these particular crimes. They don't have adequate witness protection programs. They may not even have courtrooms. They don't have the facilities to do this. And these kind of investigations, I would underline, are not simple investigations. They generally involve fact patterns, long periods of conflict showing that leaders are responsible or commanders are responsible for these crimes. And so this system depends on this principle of complementarity, which means that the International Criminal Court only complements the national authorities.
What is the importance that the Assembly of State Parties of the International Criminal Court attaches to the principle of complementarity, and how is it being implemented in reality?
So international, those who are engaged in international justice, like the Assemblies of State Parties or the ICC, are really only a part of the equation. Much of the resources in these post-conflict societies come from development agencies, from what we call rule of law programming, and they already do a great deal of work in post-conflict societies in terms of capacity building or technical assistance for training of judges, of lawyers, of rewriting codes, rewriting the law, providing witness protection programs, providing court management systems. But there's a big gap between these two things, between what the Rome Statute says the responsibility of the state is and what these development actors and rule of law implementers, and I've worked with them in the past, but they're very much focused on building capacity in the system but to handle different things other than these very serious crimes. And what we're trying to do is get the dialogue started between these two groups so that when serious crimes are committed, that the funding, the strategies, and the expertise goes not just to what's important, of course, the capacity building of the general judicial system, but also to ensure that these serious crimes are addressed, because these serious crimes, if they're not left unaddressed, they will be the drivers of the next conflict.
Many are talking about the linkages between development and justice in post-conflict societies. Can you briefly capture what is it that we are actually talking about?
What I think we've seen, particularly recently, is that with the World Development Report done by the World Bank, which came out earlier this year, it shows that there are a number of things that drive or cause conflict and the reoccurrence of conflict. And what it identifies is that failure to have justice, failure to address serious crimes, but also failure to adjust justice more generally, will lead to subsequent failure of development and security operations or security programs. So it's the marriage of these three that the World Development Report, and I think increasingly those who work on development and on the justice side, see that we can have justice, and it's essential, but it's not enough. You also need to have development. You need to have jobs. You need to have economic development, but you also need security. The same thing with from the development side. Yes, it's important that people have jobs, but if the underlying wrongs have not been addressed in any kind of way, then even though you may have economic development, you're going to have an insecure situation which undermines development. So these three elements, justice, security, and development, work hand in hand. And that's something that I don't think was sufficiently recognized earlier.
Can you give us examples where national authorities were ultimately able to conduct trials to, in a way, fulfill this principle of complementarity and demonstrate that it can be done in a national setting? Are there models to look to considering different solutions to the implementation of complementarity principle?
I would really focus on what's happened in the kind of extreme conflicts, the post-conflict situations. And we have seen a number of efforts, and I think there's a lot to be learned from them. We have in the former Yugoslavia, of course, you have the Yugoslavia Tribunal, but at the end of the day, the Yugoslavia Tribunal, I think, tried about 121 individuals. So the national authorities in all the countries have pursued war crime strategies, some more effectively than others. But one I would particularly note is the Bosnia State Court, which where there was a national strategy adopted and a national court and prosecution service set up to address that. And it used what we called was a hybrid model. So it had international judges and national judges working together, international prosecutors and national prosecutors. And what was important there was the fact that you had international judges hopefully sharing some of their capacity and their specialized knowledge with national judges and helping increase that capacity. And I think you can also look to societies that are perhaps, and this may be something that's worth talking about in the Middle East, where you have post-authoritarian societies and with a great deal of national will, but also some international assistance, like in Latin America, where you had a strong international court system and the International Court of Justice, which ended up knocking down amnesties and so forth. So there are a number of experiences out there. So in Green Tree, we'll be bringing those from experiences from Sierra Leone, from Guatemala, where you have another interesting development that was called the CSIG, which provides for international investigations but national trials, from other countries in Latin America, from countries in Africa, from the Bosnia experience, so across the board so that we can talk about some of those models, and some have worked a lot better than others.
Well, turning to the Green Tree event, and last year it was hailed as a major success in bringing high-level international actors and those from national settings to discuss the way forward. What are the issues to be discussed at this year's conference?
Well, I think you phrase it very well. It was a breakthrough, in a sense, in that we were able to get these groups to start to talk together. But we've had a number of developments since then, which I think we can really build on. We have under the World Development Report, which really maps out the relationship between justice and development and security, for that matter. So what we want to this year is take this further. It's a great thing to have a discussion and to start to see the commonalities. But this year, what I want to see as a result is a much deeper discussion on how do we actually do it? How does this actually happen in individual situations? And then the next question is, okay, we have a knowledge on how we can perhaps do this, or a good bit of comparative experience. How do we start to actualize that in countries on the ground? And that is the hard part.
As the last question in this podcast, what are the concrete outcomes of this event that you are hoping for? Is this event in any way to inform the upcoming assembly of state parties of the ICC?
I really would like to see this feed into the Assembly of State Parties. I think it's a bit unclear at this stage what role the Assembly of State Parties is going to take vis-a-vis complementarity. We've had Kampala, we've had Green Tree 1, we'll have Green Tree 2. So I do want to see it feed into to that process. It will precede the Assembly of State Parties meeting, and we will hold an event on the margins of the Assembly of State Parties, and we'll talk about it. So I would like to see it feed into that. But what I think is more important is that we start to get around the table those who can really have the impact. The Assembly of State Parties is a player, but the ones who are really the ones who are going to have the impact on this issue are development agencies, those who have development programs, they're working on rule of law programs. I'd like to see them to start to change their priorities as a result of this meeting. That is the result I really want to see.
Mr. Tolbert, thank you very much for being a guest in our podcast. And until the next time, have a great day.
Okay, thank you.